Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike's here. Bo's here. I'm here. Allie Mack. And so is Dylan behind the glass. I do want to say to Decatur Dwight. He tweeted to the morning shift Twitter account and said, as far as the Italian brain rot characters, that his 6-year-old daughter named all of the brain rot characters. So 6-year-old.
Okay.
And then also, Mike, for your reference,
her
favorite song is APT.
Oh,
just like your son.
And I'm still not sure what those people are even talking about. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what he's talking about, but the kid's bop version seems fine. So it is what it is. But shout out to him.
Yes.
We're not exactly. I would say we're living the dream, but we're not, with that song being screamed in the back seat all the time.
Epita.
Apata.
Apata.
Apatapate. I don't know, man.
This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We got to get back into this conversation about the most important Falcons this season, the top 20. We got to cover quarterback. Obviously, Michael Penix has to be on this. Mike, you've already named 9 guys. Bo, you've named 10. We have plenty more positions to go, just like quarterback, like I just mentioned. But let's start with tight end. Where do you guys land on this one?
This was tough, man. This was a really hard one for me.
Tight end?
Yeah.
I got one.
I did not put Kyle Pitts on my list for tight end. I got Charlie Warner. You've got to be, you're laughing because you got to feel the same way. Like, to me, and I'll tell you where I'm at with that, because are we getting wide receiver this time around? Or is that this segment?
If we get
so
there.
I will tell you, Ray Ray McCloud would have had, to me, Ray Ray McCloud would have had to have been included in my list if I had included Kyle Pitts. I could not in good faith say, yeah, Kyle Pitts is that guy and Ray Ray McCloud's not. I have Charlie Warner on my list. My tight end, so only tight end I have.
How am I going to give the reason that you should be giving?
Okay, go ahead.
The reason I have Charlie Warner is because he is the only or the most dependable blocking tight end on the roster, and this offense is whatever. How do you feel about this? You tell me this. Because I don't want to get too deep because I know we got this stuff, but I think that we have to talk in depth sometimes about things, because too far or too often we don't talk the reality. Is this not a offense predicated on the run game?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the two of the most important players on this roster are the quarterback and the running back to me. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself, so just hold on. But if I can't depend on one guy to block at the tight end spot, which is Kyle Pitts, because we can't, then I have to put the guy who is the blocking tight end, who at times they have at what, the fullback type position, right?
It was H-back, or whatever,
It's Charlie Warner.
Off-ball tight end.
And Charlie Warner will catch the ball, too. Not a lot. I mean, that's why Ray Ray does some of the things that he is telling the importance of him, and Drake, actually. But Charlie Warner is the guy that you depend on, and he got more snaps last year late in the season than Kyle did.
Yeah, he did. And I guess the reason that you say that that's usually an argument I would have brought up, I agree with you, but I'm past the point of including Kyle Pitts as a blocker.
But that's my point.
Yeah, like I
just figured
that's why I brought up the Ray Ray McCloud thing. To me, it's more of not Charlie Warner versus Kyle Pitts in that conversation. It's Kyle Pitts versus Ray Ray McCloud. Like, well, that's how I think of him.
I just figured you would say it's Charlie Warner because he's the blocking tight end, and it's a run first offense. No matter what they want to tell you, it's a run first offense.
Yeah.
There might be game. Now, Zach has said, and he said it the first day he got here, he said, we're not run first or throw first. We are take what the defense gives us or what we see we can exploit. But I can tell you, they want to every team really wants to run the ball more than they throw, because normally it means that they're ahead.
It means they're attacking. It means their offensive line's probably more comfortable not allowing them to send blitz packages at you and try to get you off balance. Like, yeah, you're dictating the pace of the game.
Yeah. So to me, it's just that's the importance of Charlie Warner is he is another offensive lineman on this team. He brings so much in that aspect. So that's why I had Warner and not the other guy.
Let's move on to quarterback. Any names here?
Yeah, obviously, and this is the simplest one. It's Michael Penix. He's got to have a good year. I was curious to see if Bo was going to include Kirk Cousins or anything like that, because I think that would be a wild card. And, you know, whether or not he's even on the roster, we don't know. But I got Michael Penix. It's pretty clear cut.
Yeah, and he was the first guy I put down.
Yeah.
He was the first guy I put down, and Ryan Neusel was the second guy I wrote down. When I was just sat down and was like, who are the 20 most important guys that come to mind?
Mm-hmm.
I used a plethora of defensive linemen, so I didn't have a spot for the backup quarterback. With all due respect,
yeah, right, it's fine.
No, that's fine. Easy and simple on that one. How about running back?
This was the first guy I wrote down. It was Bijan Robinson. He was the first one on my list. You got to have a good year out of Bijan, and I think that he's that important to this team. He's the heartbeat of this team to me. He's the soul of what the Atlanta Falcons are. I think we all, you know. Michael Penix, there might be games where he has no touchdowns but no interceptions, and Bijan rushes for 140, maybe catches another couple passes, 170 all-purpose, and you win the game. That's how important Bijan is for me. Past that, I also included Tyler Allgeier. I think that he's one of the top 20 most important for me. And you mentioned you kind of got D-line heavy. I got to the offensive side of the ball, and I just decided that if Bijan has to take every carry of every run snap, that this offense can't work. To your point, it's a heavy run dose the way this offense is schemed. And Tyler Allgeier has to be a part of that for me. And I couldn't include Charlie Warner and not include Tyler Allgeier because I think that he is, that hammer that has to come around at times and kind of spell Bijan. So I know I realized that last year Tyler Allgeier is only taking 25% of the snaps, I think, offensively, but those are a massive 25 for me. So I included both he and Bijan in my top 20 list.
Third name I put down was Bijan Robinson because I think he's the most important? It's hard to say. I think quarterback is always your most important spot. That's why they get paid what they do. Bijan Robinson is the best player on this football team.
Agreed.
And I don't believe it's as close as anyone would have right to argue. I think you could make arguments, but Bijan Robinson is the best player on this team. He's the most versatile player on this team, and I think he will have his best season as a receiving running back that he's ever had in his career. And I believe Michael Penix will be a big part of that. But I mean, Bijan Robinson. You said heartbeat. I think it's well said. He is it. He is the guy.
Yeah. No Allgeier for you.
No Allgeier. Again, I used a lot of defensive linemen.
I was going to say. I'm trying to count what your split is between offense and defense right now.
As much as I love Tyler Allgeier, as much as I love him, there are games where they need him. There's 2 to 3 games a year where his style just plays, right? He's not as important as Bijan. And he's not as important as a couple of other positions that I think you're really going to need to step up this year.
Yeah, I think where I would sit, and I brought up earlier, and I know we got a couple other positions to get to, but I would have switched out Mike Hughes for Dorless on your list. I think that when it comes to Tyler Allgeier, I would have switched him out because obviously you're heavy defensive line. I would have switched him out for James Pierce. I don't know what James Pierce is, and he's obviously the second of the first round pick. I hope for a great year from him, but I don't think it's imperative. When you look at the importance of going towards a playoff run, I don't think James Pierce is as important as Tyler Allgeier.
I disagree, and I know that we'll probably tomorrow we're going to kind of have some guys that we agree on and the guys we don't, we're going to disagree. I think it's extremely imperative that James Pierce shows up and does one thing. If people want to talk about how Jalen Walker is this and James Pierce is not. Yes, Jalen Walker is a more complete player, but that's the role he played in college. James Pierce has one job for me this year. I need him to excel at one thing, and that is getting the quarterback on the ground. And that, I think, can be accelerated by the other guys around him. Okay? He needs to grow as a run stopper, but the one thing I need from him is getting the quarterback. If he was to give me 6 to 8 sacks, I think that is a huge thing for this team. I know that's a big number.
I agree with you.
But to me, that's what his importance is, taking advantage of where they are paying attention to other guys.
Okay.
Well, at this point, you guys have both chosen 13 players of your top 20 most important Falcons of this season.
I think my count says that we've agreed on
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, you've agreed on a lot of them.
Yeah, we've agreed on 9 of them so far.
Well, how about a wide receiver? Let's see if you agree on this.
You want me to start?
Yeah, please do. This was tough.
I have two. I have Drake London, who you could argue is behind let's just throw out quarterback because we always know what that means. Behind Bijan, he's the second most important player on the offense as far as skill position. He is your tight end. He is at times a deep threat. He is a 100-catch, 1,000-yard, 8-touchdown guy. Yeah. But the reality is when you need a big catch, you go to Drake London.
Yeah.
He is that big.
Can I stop you right there? Do you think that if Michael Penix is able to play up to his game, that he goes over the 9 touchdowns or whatever we're talking about from a year ago, that he's up in the 14-15 category if Michael Penix is able to flourish? Because I do. I think there's so much more as far as red zone that Drake London should be able to do.
No, he had 9.
That should be able to do with a competent quarterback and one that can actually move around and extend plays.
But I think you have to understand, too, that it's eventually like Drake London is now on the map. He's a 1,000-yard, 9-touchdown guy. He's on the map, 100 catch. There's going to be attention other places. Yep. Now, if my second name steps up, then, yeah, I think he can. And that guy's Darnell Mooney, because Darnell Mooney does everything. He's a yak guy. He stretches the field. He at times, like, there were times where it almost felt like Kirk had more of chemistry with Darnell early in the season than Drake, and he would put Darnell up. I go back to that catch against Tampa in the Thursday night game, where Kirk just puts it up in the middle of the field, yep, and Darnell climbs the ladder and grabs it. And to me, that was where it was like, wow.
Yeah.
I just think having his importance to this team is a big that you have 2,000-yard receivers. They are both very important.
Yeah, Allie, I wish I had two different players. I've got Darnell and Drake as well. And the reason, though, I think is a little bit different from what Blow's explaining. I think when I look at Darnell Mooney, I look at Darnell Mooney and say he's important because he allows Drake to be what Drake should be, and that's the power slot receiver. We talk about it all the time, essentially playing the tight end role for this offense. Darnell Mooney is the deep threat, right? He's the guy that kind of gets the safeties to run off and kind of eases up some of that underneath coverage, just allows Drake to run those slants and everything else, the crossing routes underneath that allows him to play that position. Without Darnell Mooney, all of a sudden Drake is on the outside and you're asking him to do things that he's probably not capable of doing, and that's take the top off the defense. So I'm with you. Darnell Mooney, Drake London, I think both those guys fit in. I didn't go any deeper than that. I didn't get down to Ray McLeod or Kadarius Hodge or anybody else like that, although I think the argument could be made for Ray.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't think they have the best, but I think the Falcons have a top 5 to 7 receiving core in the NFL, and it is vastly underrated because you have 2,000-yard guys and Darnell and Drake, because I know Darnell was like 8 yards from it or whatever. But then you have
Ray. Didn't play week 18.
Yeah. But then Ray had over 600 yards last year. I mean, Ray had right at 700 yards and 62 catches. Dude, that's pretty freaking good for a guy that everyone thought was going to be like the fifth or sixth option. And we're not even talking about Kadarius Hodge, who can step up when needed.
I think there's a tendency among some Falcons fans to say, well, we shouldn't have to rely on Ray. Doesn't matter to me. Like, I don't care if we should or we shouldn't. If Kyle Pitts obviously, were to play up to his standards and his ability, we wouldn't lean on Ray McLeod as much. But he's there, and he's been able to step up to the plate. I know he had a couple of drops, but I think I'm a big Ray fan in the way he fits into this scheme.
But that's more of a, well, they don't like the fact that it's a guy that you signed on I think it's more about what he's been in his career than what he actually is for this team.
I agree.
Which I can't stand, but, what are you going to do?
Well, and you guys have both chosen 15 of your top 20 most important players of the Falcons this season. We'll find out the final 5 at 8:20 between special teams, safety, linebacker. We'll see what they pick. And coming up, the Thunder survived the Pacers in that late rally. We'll recap Game 5 of the NBA Finals next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan at 7:24. If you're heading into work today, make sure to take us with you. You can stream us via the Odyssey app. And before we get into the NBA Finals, I want to talk about that New York team that is invading our territory tonight. Mets are in town. Spencer Schwellenbach going up against David Peterson. Tough series, but we need this win. Are we going to get it? Predictions?
Ooh, golly. I don't know about that. Calm down, Allie.
Well, this is where Dylan should play the drop. Blank everything New York from me.
Yeah.
look, this is... You've got... I think when me and Abe were doing that show and Mike, you were out on vacation. You were at Disney World, or is it Land?
Disney World.
World. That's World's in Florida, Land's in Cali.
Correct.
Right? I said that regardless of Spencer Strider coming back, that Spencer Schwellenbach is the best pitcher on the Braves. Now, Chris Sale has since really turned it on, and he's been the best pitcher for the last month and a half of this season. But I think Spencer Schwellenbach has the best stuff going forward. He can hit 100 if he needs to. He's got six pitches he uses close to equally. I love this matchup. I don't think that the Mets have seen Spencer Schwellenbach in a while and not this matured version that he's kind of – and he is due what he had. He's like every other game. He's dominant, right? Yep. And I don't think he was as dominant as last outing. Wait, when was his last outing? It wasn't that Brewers game, was it? Oh, it
Spencer?
Was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That was only a week ago. Well, it might be the six inning three run, but nah, screw it. He's dominant, and I think he's going to go out there, and I think he can mow some of these hitters. He'll strike Alonso out three times tonight.
Yeah,
yeah, I said it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's true. but I'm very
Ostradamus.
The question is what bats show up?
Yeah,
the ones that allowed a guy that hadn't made a start in over a year, basically hold them to no runs.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, too, is the fact this is a home game. And I know that we don't probably underscore this quite enough. The Braves are a lot better at home than they are on the road. We've mentioned a couple times they're, you know, 0 for California or whatever you want to say. They've been abysmal on the road multiple times this year. When you like their away record on the road is 12-24. Home record, 19-15. All right, so they're much better at home. I like the fact that this series is going to be in Atlanta, hopefully. And I know they will. People will show up to Truist Park and kind of bring that energy. This team will feed off of that. There is not a, like I mentioned yesterday, the Sunday scaries coming out of this series. These are all night matchups. This is where the Braves should shine. They've got three quality starters going, and I think it's imperative that they win at least two of three. I think it's imperative. Like, I think if you're going to make any noise or show any signs of life, guys, we kept saying at some point, and we keep saying at some point, and we talk about the back of the baseball card, and these guys are going to come around. Guess what? It's June 17th. The All-Star game is in 3-4 weeks, right? It has to happen now.
And it's not about the division. So anybody wants to tell you, well, they're this many games out of the division, it has nothing to do with the division.
I agree. They won the division 2 years ago. It didn't do anything for you.
Well, yeah, but you need to be within 3 games, 4 games, maybe, of the final wild card spot. That's where you're playing for. You're playing for the wild card. You're not playing for the division. If you are to get close in the division race, that's kind of like the icing on top or whatever. You're playing for the wild card. That's where you're at. You're a below 500 team. You're 8 games below 500, and you're 7.5 out of the wild card, the final spot, which the Padres own, which you have lost 5 of 6 to, I think. Or no, 6 of 7. That's where you have to get to, and you don't know who will be there at that point in time. It could be the Giants, it could be quite a few teams, but you're playing for the wild card. So you go win 2 of 3. Then you go win two of three. Then wait, this is the Marlins next. So then you know you got to sweep the Marlins. I think you need to sweep the Marlins, win two of three from the Mets, win two of three from the Phillies, and then you've lost what, three or four games in that 13 game stretch, and you're feeling great about yourself. You're like 9-4 or something like that, 8-5. You'd be feeling great about yourself if you did that.
If they go 10-3, they'll be one game under 500. So that's what we.
That's a lot, though.
It is a lot. It's a big ask, but I feel like when they're up against a good team, they lock in just a little bit more than when they're playing like the Pirates
agree.
Or the Rockies.
Completely
they
agree
always lock in when you're thinking, oh gosh, they've got the Mets tonight. They play well.
I agree. And that was one of my frustrations coming off the Sunday game. And I'm not going to revisit this conversation, but I just feel like that we should have put more emphasis on that Sunday game. And I feel like we kind of played like it was just, you know what I mean? And it was a missed opportunity for me to go out and get a 3-game sweep. To your point about being 10-3, you get a 3-game sweep, that helps a lot going in that direction. Instead, it's just 2 out of 3 from the worst team in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, and we never argued of the how they played. It was the reason why. And I refuse to believe it was because they moved Sell back now two days of a start, which is what they're doing. And they've don't forget, they've moved Strider up a day. Now, it's still going to be – it's going to be 5 days rest. It's not that, but they – he was originally scheduled to go on Friday, and Elder was scheduled to go on that Thursday game, and they've moved Elder back one, which could help Bryce maybe. Some guys remember last year when Freed complained about 6 days rest, but Sell was like, "I love it," and so that and you've gotten a couple of days off. You got Thursday off last week, and now you got Monday off this week, so. You've gotten the chance to kind of reset how your rotation goes, and I think that's part of it, too. I think that was as much a part of it as saying, well, we want these guys to start the Mets, but you also want your rotation to look a certain way. And now they've got 1-2-3 back to some semblance of what 1-2-3 in the reality should look like.
Yeah, you're 7.5 games back right now of a wild card spot. And
yeah.
That's
what I was
again,
saying.
You have to throw that thing into overdrive. If you're going to make noise,
get it to 3 or 4. Right, do you not agree 3 or 4 would be the number for the All-Star break, or you think it needs to be even closer?
I would say it needs to be even closer, and that's only because of taking the temperature of the team. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we all of a sudden don't go on a heater in the next 4 weeks, then I have genuine questions about what the end of the season even looks like, because I know that they've shown the ability to get really, really hot in August. I don't think with the ability of a lot of the other teams and the way some of these other teams look, I don't think they're going to have that luxury this year.
The Padres are in the last spot at 39-32. You're sitting at 31-39. If you're within 3 to 4 games of them, that means you have done. You maybe did go 10-3, or you went 9-4, or something like that. You've won games because the Padres. I mean, they're in a 4-6 span right now, but they've been a pretty good team this year. They've been. I mean, they started out 4-0, right? I mean,
that's true.
Saw that one.
Yeah, we spotted them that, but
yeah. Well, first pitch tonight is at 7:15. Now, changing lanes over to the NBA Finals. Last night, the Thunder did pull ahead in the NBA Finals over the Pacers. Jalen Williams, I mean, he just had such a good game. He got 40 points for the Thunder. SGA added 31. Final score was 120-109.
I got to give Indiana credit, because multiple times watching this game last night, did I think OKC put a dagger in them. I was like, oh, it's over with. Halliburton obviously dealing with the calf. He's back and forth with the locker room. He's mostly a decoy offensively. And when you looked at their ability to just hang around, they made it, you know, they got within 2 points in the fourth quarter. 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they're within 2 points. And then obviously OKC pulls back away. But I just got to give them a ton of credit and the grit they played with last night without their best player being full strength in an NBA Finals game that meant a ton.
Yeah, and the Thunder jumped all over them early in this game. Thunder hit 7 of their first 9 shots, which helped them get out to a 32-point first quarter. And, you know, they led by 10 after the first. SGA continues to do what he does. Jalen Williams did step up. The funniest thing I saw about the Finals last night is I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what he posts. So don't come at me. All I know is it popped up on my timeline. This guy named Carlos Hoosier, and he wrote, "If Miles Turner and Chet Holmgren were playing 101 in my backyard, I'd close the curtains." And that is quite possibly one of the funniest things I have ever read about it. I really hate this for Halliburton, having to deal with this calf injury in the biggest spot of his career. He has been nothing short of spectacular in the playoffs. but he has not been great in the finals. I'm sure that the calf muscle has been a part of that. Obviously was last night. He was 0-for from the field. His 4 points came off free throws. He still contributed, but they can't win this series with a hobbled Tyrese Halliburton. I fear this could be the it. I think Dylan could be right. He said it would go six and it would be Thunder. I do hope that the Pacers can find a way to pull one out at home and get this back to a game seven, because, look, game seven's better for everyone, including the world of sports.
Yeah. It just, to me, this feels like a perfect storm of OKC ending this in six. You put it perfectly, Bo. Halliburton, with that calf injury, he was good at facilitating. He was good at limiting his turnovers, but he was just not nearly aggressive enough. I just think because he couldn't be. He only took six shots last night, and I think part of that reason is because he was hobbled by that injury. So if he can't be his aggressive self when he needs to be, you're going to need a out-of-body effort from a guy like a Benedict Mathurin again, or you're going to need like a 20-plus performance point performance from a TJ McConnell, and I'm just – not you can't guarantee you're going to get that. Yes, you'll be back home in Indiana. Yes, role players, you tend to play better at home. But still, this just feels like OKC smells blood in the water, and they're not gonna let their food get away. They're not going to play with their food.
Well, game six happens Thursday night, 8:30 on ABC. And coming up, it is Top 5 Tuesday. Uh-oh. Dylan is taking over again.
Here we go.
Oh, Dylan, no. What you got for
us? I'm hyped, baby. All right, so this time, I'm going old Steak Shapiro. I'm going the food route with it.
Whoa.
Top 5 major fast food chain desserts.
Oh.
And I guarantee you, y'all are going to be thanking me at the end of this list, because I got one in my top 5 that I know nobody has in their top 5.
Wow.
That's coming up next.
That sounds controversial. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah.
All right. This is, you guys are looking so confused right now. This is the Italian Brain Rot song.
Oh,
kids,
I was like, dude,
are listening to.
Did Akon drop a new album? the...
It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mac, and Dylan. Earlier, we were talking about the Falcons social media. They put out the Falcons players identifying different Italian brain rot characters, and we were all completely stumped on what it is.
Still stumped.
Apparently, kids are very obsessed with this,
I'm not going to lie. That song was a...
kind of a bop?
The song's kind of vibey.
It felt like we were pulling up in couples retreat at the dock, and we're getting off. We're like, man, this place is beautiful. You know, oh, look, they got fish in the floor, you know?
Well, this hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Now, we're going to get to Top 5 Tuesday in a moment. Dylan is actually taking this one over today. Last time, he started a citywide controversy, so I'm a little bit nervous about this one. But before we do, I have to admit, I might be disappointed in myself this morning. I might not. The jury is still out. It's been a minute since I have fallen for a targeted ad. But I did recently. They hit me hard.
Which social media got you?
Oh, all of them. Facebook, yeah. Instagram. They know. They've been hearing me talk about I'm doing mornings again, so and bad. I need energy. And so I've been hit hard with the mushroom coffee ads.
Oh!
And so I'm drinking, and I absolutely hate
all
mushrooms.
All right, party on, Wayne.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You don't eat mushrooms?
No, I hate mushrooms.
And we're talking about for the food type, not the microdosing type, but I mean...
Both, but...
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I think it's, you know, it's like a coffee version of this, right?
Yeah, it's a coffee version. So it's like lion's mane mushrooms is very good for your neurotransmitters, apparently.
They've got some in Georgia hemp that's in the capsules.
Yeah.
And
the capsules?
Capsules.
Yeah.
You know what?
Available.
He put an I in there.
If you listen really closely to our Atlanta Motor Speedway, or I'm sorry, Echo Park Speedway commercial, he says available. Available at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
I love
is this,
it.
Is this where you want, is this what you, is this what
I don't
doing?
Know, I just, I couldn't
Is this
help.
What we're
yeah,
doing?
Couldn't help.
Is this where you want to be?
Sorry. Huh? Yeah, well, and the mushroom caplets are available online as well.
At Georgia Amp Company. And Georgia
Amp. Make sure you get your capsules today.
Capsules.
Hey, let me tell you something. You should probably sit this one out, big dog. Because you're about to turn the city upside down with another ridiculously bad list. But they have the pills.
There you go.
From Georgia Hemp, the mushroom that you can take. And I took them for a while. And when we first started this show, I text Joe and was like, dude, my brain is like not awake. And I ran out, Joe, so if you want to, send me a shipment. But they're good. They do help. They absolutely do help.
I have been hearing a lot of good things. It's lower caffeine, and it has all these, amino acids and stuff in it, and I just fell for it. Have you guys fallen for any recently?
Amazon gets me on a daily. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not necessarily buying everything, but the Amazon targeted ads, I'm definitely clicking on and being like, that's a good price for that. Like, stuff I completely have no use for.
And you could have it today between 2 and 5
exactly.
If you just add $2.
Exactly.
No, or you buy something else. Yeah. It goes over. I've been getting targeted lately with these are the 7 steps I had for this life or healthy living, or I am pain free in my joints because I took these 7 steps.
Yeah.
I actually bought some of them. They're I gotta Google.
Did you get like turmeric or something?
No.
Okay.
I thought that's like for your stomach.
I think it's for your joints.
All of it.
Wait. Time out. Mike, what did you call it?
Turmeric.
I thought it was pronounced turmeric.
It is turmeric.
Okay. I thought there was an extra R in there.
Nah, I mean, if we got to get on, if we're going to get on boat, we got to get you. I was like, hold on now. We got to be fair.
When the unjust comes around.
Yeah, DJ Grammar Police over here. I cannot even pronounce what this is. The bottle says it's MSM, but it's called metha something. I don't know. Methyl sulfonyl methane.
Sounds good for you.
and it's supposed to basically help with like joint pain and everything. And I take it, and it helps sometimes. I don't know, some days not.
Yeah.
Depends on if I drink.
Dylan, I know we got to get to it. All right. But I just want you to, when we get back for wake up call at 8, I want you to pull up turmeric on the Google pronunciations.
Uh-oh. Okay. He's got a receipt. He's got a receipt.
Might have a beef. But until then.
Well, the best part is one of y'all is wrong.
And before I let this man get diarrhea of the mouth during mic'd up and spew out whatever his top 5 desserts from fast food restaurants are, let me remind you that today's mic'd up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Dylon, be very careful here, my friend, but go away. Go ahead.
Another fire list coming your way. I have 3 honorable mentions. 3 honorable mentions because, again, we're just going through desserts here, so it won't take long to get through my 3 honorable mentions. Honorable mention number 1, the Hershey's Sunday Pie at Burger King.
Okay.
Oh.
Any of you had the Hershey's Sunday Pie
at
Burger King?
We're off on bad foot.
It's been a couple decades.
It's you can also get it from the Publix freezer section. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Right. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, dude.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right. Wow. Why aren't you judgy?
I was about to say, I see where this might be going
you're
with old Mikey
like
P.
You're a big bully
this
today.
This is Dylon's
You're
time.
A bully today.
Okay.
All right. Next honorable mention, the cookies and cream milkshake from Chick-fil-A. It is not in the top 5. Okay. It is honorable mention.
All right. We're veering back the right direction.
There we go.
I'm all over that.
All right. Last honorable mention before we get into the top 5, the chocolate malt from Dairy Queen. The chocolate malt from Dairy Queen.
Did they flip that one over too?
No, yeah. No.
What do you mean flip it over? Oh, no, they don't flip. I don't think. No,
that's
they don't have
the
to flip
blizzard.
The top. You only got to flip the
blizzard.
Okay. I know because I used to work at Dairy Queen, by the way. I was actually very good at making blizzards.
There it is.
But chocolate malt, if you like Whoppers, it's basically like a milkshake version of Whoppers almost.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Let's go ahead and get it to it.
You just got a regular chocolate milkshake on there then, basically.
No, it's different because it's just different. If you haven't had it, I can't explain it.
A Whopper's not just chocolate.
One of the 3 honorable mentions that you hit on. Okay.
Here is number 5. This is the one where I'm putting y'all on because I guarantee y'all none of you have tasted this before. Uh-oh. And you need to go try it. The pineapple dragon fruit frosted lemonade from Chick-fil-A. Now, before I continue, do you all know what the just a regular frosted lemonade is at Chick-fil-A?
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Frosted lemonade?
Yeah. It's just iced lemonade, right?
I mean, no. See, okay. You already got the game.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
A frosted lemonade at Chick-fil-A, and this is why the frosted lemonades at Chick-fil-A are special. They got ice cream in them. They got some of the ice cream in the frosted lemonades.
Okay.
So it's a mixture of like ice cream, the lemonade, and so, you know, it's a good mixture.
The lemonade float.
I respect what you're doing. Okay.
So
yeah, well, I don't want anything with pineapple in it because this is garbage.
It's good as a drink, but it's pineapple dragon fruit. So it's the lemonade, but it has the pineapple dragon fruit flavor in it too. It's so good.
As the resident fat kid, I will tentatively sign off. Okay, that's fine. That's fine at five.
So, all right. So that is my number five. Now we're getting into the rest of the four are going to be ones that you all know. And so here's where I think the real judgment is going to come from. Let's get to number four. The Oreo Blizzard at Dairy Queen.
Okay.
You know what you're going to get, but it's not blowing you away to the point where it has to be, to me, in the top three or the top two.
Well, then why is it in the top five?
Because it's still consistent. It's so good.
It's very good.
Let me ask you this. Do you really think it's better than the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard? Because it's not.
I think it is. I think it is. I think it is.
I can answer that. It's not.
I love the reasoning. It's not.
My only issue with this being where it's at, and it's number four, right?
Yeah, number four.
The only issue I have with this is it feels like you can get this at most places. And I know that there's a twist. Like the McFlurry, or Five Guys has got the Oreo. Like, you can go to a bunch of different places and get this Oreo version of whatever this place does.
I'm doing most of these you can probably get somewhere else because it's fast food dessert.
Okay,
can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you describe it the exact same way you did when you introduced it and why it was four? Can you do that for me real quick?
Yes, yes.
I'm not trying to pick on you. I just want to rehear it.
Oreo Blizzard, because it is very consistent, but it's not super special to the point where it needs to be in the top two or the top three.
Okay. And that's part of my reason. First off, it's not better than Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard. But secondly, it you can't describe it as not special in the top five. It's got to be special to be in the top five.
It's a special where it's like that good to where it needs to be in there. But again, you know what you're going to get.
And do you like Oreos better than Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
By themselves, no. But in a Blizzard?
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I respect it. I'm not disrespectful to it. Just is not better than Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard.
That's your opinion, man.
Might have been one for me, really. I love those.
All right.
So good.
Moving on to number three. The just regular vanilla ice dream. You got to make sure you get the name right. The ice dream cone at Chick-fil-A.
No.
First of all,
boring.
Let me tell you what sets the ice dream cone at Chick-fil-A than all the other regular ice cream cones out there. The kind of icy texture that it has. It's not too icy, obviously, but it has a little bit of a icy type of, I don't even know, I want to call it thick texture because it's not necessarily thick, but it just has a different texture that I really, really love. And it's like, it's creamy and icy at the same time. Like, I just don't know how to put my finger on it, but it's just the texture sets it apart.
So far, this list is very vanilla.
I will say, because I know we got to move on. I just looked this up, and it says that because of the way it is put together, the ice dream lasts 10 more minutes in direct sun than the McDonald's version of this.
I believe it.
Yeah,
I believe it too.
Well, you probably need that 10 minutes because this is not knocking my boots off right here.
Okay, let's move on to number two. And again, these are the best. These are the cream of the crop, the go-to ones.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind.
I am. I'm trying.
The M&M McFlurry at McDonald's, number two.
Okay, I'm going to give you credit here because I am a fan of the M&M McFlurry.
Yeah,
Better than the Oreo.
It is better than the Oreo. It's better than the Dream Cone or that ridiculous-ass lemonade you had on there.
Don't knock it till you try it.
I just don't think it's two, but I respect this. And I actually, this is the first thing you've mentioned in your top five that I would order over any of the other ones.
And then that's why it's at the top. That's why it's number two.
I'll save comment until after this next one.
Yeah, I didn't hear the first one.
Number one. The undisputed champion. The one that if you need a dessert, a cheap dessert, a late night snack, whatever the case may be, the vanilla frosty Edwin.
Okay.
No.
The vanilla fr-
on.
Bro, come
he's
on.
He's dead on. The the Wendy's Frosty had to be number one.
And it's the
vanilla. It's vanilla, though. It's vanilla one, though. It's the vanilla. I love vanilla. Vanilla is my favorite flavor.
Better, but yes.
Dylan. Can you do the swirl?
Yeah, you can do the swirl.
Allie is on this. Mike's right, too. You had to have a Frosty on here.
Yes.
Allie's right, though. It's the chocolate Frosty. You can dip your French fries in it. Yes. But here's the thing.
Dip your French fry in the
I had no clue your taste buds were so freaking vanilla.
I
because
know.
This is, I just hold on. I'm not. I know everybody thinks I jump on you. I'm not. But you're just, your desserts are, I mean, I was expecting that list to have like an apple turnover on there or something.
Yeah, or where's the Choco Taco?
You're just very like, everything you had was vanilla.
That's not fast food.
Everything you did was vanilla.
I'm actually, and maybe I just set my sights too low. I'm actually okay with most parts of this list. I think I had such a low expectation. Like, I thought for sure that we were going to get Domino's Lava Cake and the Cinnamon Twist.
Now, I will say this. Yeah. I almost put the Domino's.
The
marble brownie cookie, yes. I almost put that on there.
It is solid.
Yeah, I almost put that on there. It did run across my mind. I will say this. I don't always have – I like to adventure out. Like, I like – the gooey butter cake ice cream at Jenny's, but it's not fast food. Like, that's a specific place. Again, we niched it down to fast food desserts.
Correct.
Well, we got to go to break, but real quick, this is just like your Nintendo list.
Wow.
Like, you said top five video games, and it was all Nintendo. This is top five desserts. It's all vanilla ice cream.
Wow.
Everything
I'm
is vanilla
a lover of vanilla.
Wow.
Top five vanilla ice cream fast food desserts.
Coming up, we have the wake-up call. Please call in and tell Dylan how wrong he is about the top five fast food desserts. 404-726-0929. Plus, we're going to get back into the top 20 most important Falcons players. Bo and Mike only have five left. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.